Okay. Praise the Lord. We are being recorded right now. Hallelujah. So we just praise you, Father. We come before your throne of grace and your throne of mercy, and we just praise you that you're here with us, that there is no distance in the realm of your spirit, that you're here because your spirit lives on the inside of us. My God, you feed us. You can sing with me in your own little houses. All right? My God, you feed us. My God, you care for us. My God, you'll always be here for us. We sing and you are here.
Sing it again, baby.
My God, you feed us. My God, you care for us. My God, you'll always be here for us. We sing and you are here. Birds of the air are singing. The daily gratefulness as they travel to and from the earth. Our God is there. No need for all creation to be wanting of His care. Just lift your voice and sing to Him a new song. Our God is there. My God, you feed us. My God, you care for us. My God, you'll always be here for us. We sing and you are here. We sing and you are here. We sing and you are here.
I cannot tell you how many times alone with the Lord, when things just seemed dark, that I would just allow my spirit to respond to the Holy Spirit and begin to praise Him. And I know that that is why He has given me personally so many of my own psalms. I always used to love to read the book of Psalms, and knowing King David's life, I always say he's one of my heroes because he praised his way through everything. But he knew how to praise. And I think a lot of times as we're praising the Lord, my fellow comrades, that we realize that our focus is off when we start to praise the Lord. And, you know, I know Miriam brought this up this morning about praising, not just going into deep worship, and that people can get very soulish. But praise actually does paralyze our avenger. And that's what's so powerful, because every time we praise Him, we are declaring who He is. And we're really outside of ourselves. And that is a true praise. Praising person of God is they are not there to think about themselves. They're there to remind themselves who He is. And so I know all of us probably could quote what I want to share today from the Lord, but since the Word of God is alive and fresh and new, just like He says, it's like our bread, our sustenance. that we can still feed on it. And unlike the manna that we were talking about in one of our times, I think it was with Miriam, it only lasted for 24 hours. And I think a lot of people in the day that we're living in are realizing that whatever their relationship was with the Lord, it's not enough for this day. So they need to have a deeper relationship with Him. Maybe even, I would say, a more consistent relationship. And I came to the point of having this kind of relationship was I gave Him permission to interrupt me wherever I was, whenever I was doing anything. Just interrupt me. I give you permission. And sometimes it was like the Martha, Lisa, I mean, all of us have had loved ones or friends try to get our attention, or maybe we did with our children. But I love His promptings because He's not trying to be mean about it. He's just trying to say, listen, I know you might think what you're doing is really good, but this is what's really needful. And Jesus even knew when He spoke to His followers, He knew who knew what was more needful, as we read about Mary and Martha. But in Psalm 23, let's just read it. Since you're all muted from me, you can read it. I want you to read it out loud yourselves. With your spouses, you can do it together if you want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I know back in those days that they went into the temple, but I guess you could say for today that I will let You dwell in me, Lord. And when we let the Lord dwell in us, we give Him permission to really move our thoughts around, move our desires around. See, we allow Him to shepherd our soul. And those sweet little sheep, I tell you, I go back to videos I've watched about sheep because He likens us to sheep. And boy, when you think about the day that we're in, you're probably going around here and there and you're hearing the cries of lost sheep. You're hearing the cries of sheep that don't have a shepherd. I know our city, many people are mourning the loss of their shepherd. And, you know, it is a tragedy when things like this happen because the sheep are flock animals and they need a shepherd. And so that's when God has to send another shepherd in to help the sheep. So as I was reading this, and I just encourage you to meditate on this because really if there's ever people always that don't really know the Lord, or maybe they know Him just a little bit, they're always looking for a sign. You've probably heard that before. I'm just praying for a sign. Well, the day declares that it's a pretty rough day. But He said He's already given us that. We don't need that sign. We have the Comforter, the very Shepherd, that is very aware of the sign, that has very much been preparing us that we're able to hear I'm so glad that he prepared me in January. Think about those pearls. You know, I've been thinking about them. And I still have one on my key ring, and it reminds me that I could squeeze and press the pearl. Well, you know what? It wasn't just a word for me. You all can squeeze every bit of understanding that you need out of the words that God is speaking to you. And then it will bring comfort to you, because just as we know about sheep, they, when they had bugs get into their fur on their head, it would make them want to go crazy. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day that a lot of people are being so bugged by demonic spirits that they're not acting soundly. I mean, it was already that way before in some respect, but we know it's just a new day. So how much more do we need to offer up the anointings that God has given to us and let him use us in the highways and byways of life? So when Miriam gave out the prayer cloth, and I knew I wanted to experience it because I wanted to experience the anointing, I was very aware of this is an anointing I had never experienced before. But I've also never experienced this day before. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit always matches the day that we live in and the situation. So when we go up to people and we minister to people, whether it's our family members, whether it's our spouses, whether it's our neighbors, there is an anointing, and the Lord wants us to get very used to working with his movings on the inside of us. And for us to be very aware that every single one of you are anointed. And you can increase the anointing. And that's why I chose to ask for the cloth for me, is because I want to increase the anointing for the day. I don't know about you. I don't want to stay where I was just this last year. I've had a lot of great victories, a lot of great testimonies, but I don't want to live on the old testimonies. I want to live in what God has for the future for us. And it was interesting as I was just really, really, like I said, thinking so deeply about this, because we need to embrace the fact that a sheep is dependent on the shepherd to guide it to its food. And that's why every single day that we get up, we need to allow him to guide us to not just our natural food, but our spiritual food. There are so many Christians that do not eat spiritually every day. They like go on a fast, and then when something big happens, they're calling for help. And I know it's just that's just the way some people have been brought up, but that's not the way a shepherd treats his sheep. So I encourage you all to seek him first and say, Lord, what is it that I need from you today? Because you said I can't live by just bread alone. We're not going to be able to handle this day by just eating mere natural bread. We're not going to handle it very well, as we're seeing so many people doing very odd things. So seek him and write it down. You don't have to journal everything that you think, but it's good to write down these unctions from the Holy Spirit, because what happens is sometimes it can leave, and if we don't value it, it may never come back. Not about you, but I know how people can get distracted. And sometimes you can get something that is so deep, and maybe you don't have the time to really meditate on it. write it down and go back and look at it. Also, it says that we do have a choice to go to the Great Shepherd as our comfort. When you hear something that's just not too good about something that's happening just to somebody else, go to the Great Shepherd and let him comfort you. And that comfort may give you some insight. The Holy Spirit may tell you something that you can't tell anybody else about the situation. But it's what you needed to hear to bring you comfort. Also, there's two ways to come through days like this that we're living. Better or bitter. And I think if you watch the news for any length of time, you're seeing both arising. Some people are just so much better, so much more appreciative, coming back to the simplicity of just valuing their children, valuing that they have a place to live. And there's others that are bitter. Why are they bitter? They either don't know who he is, they don't know they can go to him, and they're lost. They're lost in the way to go through this life. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For those of you that know me and my little staff, and I use it a lot, but I think about the staff a lot and how valuable the staff is. And the staff is basically what you lean on and what you use so that things don't get too close to you. Because when you look at the shepherd and the way he used his staff for his sheep, he would use it to just kind of prod them along, to keep them next to him. He never used it as a weapon for his sheep, but he did for the sheep's enemies. He used it where you can get to the place in, with the Holy Spirit, that you can declare something into the realm of the Spirit that is like a knockout punch to your adversary. Now I always tell people, you can't kill the devil. He's already nothing but death. But you can keep him at bay. Just like we can't kill this disease, so to speak, with anything naturally that we know of. They're still learning about it. But we can keep it at bay with our trust in the Lord. That his presence in us will never agree with that sickness. And so it will never lead us into trouble with that sickness. It won't lead, he'll never lead our thoughts in that we have to have it. Or he'll never lead us into, oh, I'm afraid. He'll lead us into looking to the shepherd. So if you encounter any situations as these days go on where it seems like Miriam was saying, she just asked the Lord where to go, in the store, what store to go to. But if you sense something's just not right, talk to the Lord about it. I really believe many people have a lot of sensing. If you talk to them a lot of times, even like your children, didn't you know you weren't supposed to do that? And they're like, yeah. But those sensings are something that we have to work with. And we have to verbally acknowledge. A lot of people that don't have real close relationships with the Lord, they do most of what they think is praying in their heads. But King David didn't. And as we can see, he didn't. He wrote it down. The apostles wrote it down.
Why? Because not only is it good for us to go back to what he was saying to us, we can also pass it on to others. And that's how we have become beneficiaries of the anointing cloth, through prophetic ministries, through Miriam. Is she received it, and she was so happy to receive it, she was willing to share it. And that's one thing that's so wonderful, is we've heard so many stories about people passing on their anointing cloth. I mean, the Lord has even given me creative thoughts that if you have to cut into your prayer cloth to share with somebody else, you can. We have to really think out of the box. He also said his staff was so important. When you think of the staff, I can think of how many times I have taken really long hikes and I was tired. And I just took that staff and I leaned on it. And there are some things that we're going to need to lean on in this day that we didn't really think about leaning on in times past. What that may be for you, I can't say unless the Holy Spirit gives me something specific. But I think the day has brought within or upon many people that they have to think about some things and where they are in their relationship with the Lord. Also, the thing that I love about this staff is it keeps things at a distance. You know, a lot of people are distancing from other people. I think in some respects, people can feel that are dealing with it, maybe they are dealing with the virus, that they can feel a measure of rejection. And that's why we need to pray for those people. And I think that's why a prayer cloth is so valuable, because then they actually have the closeness of the Lord near them. Maybe you're not close to your children right now. You could lay hands on a prayer cloth and give it to your children in a very endearing way to let them get used to this is your presence that is with them, or you've been praying for them. You know, I'm so glad that my mom took serious when I gave her the prayer cloth, because I know that there's limitations in understanding. But I realized that she valued it because I presented it in a way that was valuable. Also, when you look at the Lord as my shepherd, we need to know his timings more than ever in this day. You know, it's unlike, I think we've all had new days. I know the Bakers have been through a new day with their children getting married, but it really is like a new day, a whole new generation, a whole new way of thinking about some things, especially for so many people that are afraid. And when I was talking today on the conference call, I don't just go around and quote things in my neighborhood. I go around and I usually walk my dog, and in the main aspect of walking my dog, I was doing so much training that was my focus. But just in the last few days, how he has been leading me to pray in my neighborhood. And I would notice as I walked, my spirit would notice certain areas of the neighborhood that had more fear. Very interesting. And I just began to release the love and the peace of God to these neighbors. Some I get to talk to. I've called many that I know, but some of these people that I was walking past their houses, I don't know them. But I was still willing to let the Holy Spirit quicken me. When I was first born again and received the Lord, what I wanted more than ever
was first more assurance of my salvation. So I began to just read about that. Okay, what I had done. You know, I was born again. I really am born again. I really have received him. So I needed that assurance. But the day that we're living in now is I want a heightened ability with everyone I come in contact with. It's kind of like taking yourself up to another level. Every person that's listening is in a certain place with the Lord. But it's time to give yourself permission and humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't even know what the next level is like, but I want to go there. I want to come to a more heightened ability with you. And sometimes it begins just praying in tongues to open yourself up. Because I know many times when I first, or when I've led people to get baptized with the Holy Spirit for so many years, sometimes they would say, I don't know how to speak in English. In other words, the Holy Spirit was trying to get charge of their tongue. And so I said, just go ahead and yield over. And so if you've been in kind of autopilot with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you've never really yielded over to being filled with the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a mystical thing. Being filled means you're under a greater influence of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. It just means that maybe there's some areas of your life you have really not fully yielded to. And then a lot of times, many times we've heard this, I've experienced it myself, that when he brings you into a new place, he gives you an absolutely new tongue that you begin to pray as you speak in tongues. And with that new tongue, because with the new tongue comes a new yielding. If you've ever learned a language, every time you learn a language, you have to give your tongue permission to do things you didn't do when you spoke the other languages. Or have your mind come into a new understanding that you didn't really have to have an understanding of before. And I think it's so incredible the way he's designed our development. And so I'm speaking to myself, too, just like Miriam. She'll go back and listen to her own messages and get a lot of revelation, because sometimes we're getting it at the same speed that you are. But I just encourage you to go ahead and yield more, be willing, and realize that he really wants to equip us more. He wants us to have a more heightened ability in hearing his voice, in hearing those really sharp moves of his spirit that he wants to make, or going into maybe new situations that you never even thought about. Maybe, and I think this is what's happened with most people, I've thought about this a little bit since we've all been quarantining, and that was how autopilot people are at going to certain stores. They never thought about going to other stores for price reasons. But really, the Holy Spirit doesn't think that way. Though he wants us to be good stewards, he also wants us to be so yielded to him that if it protects our life that we don't go to this specific place, we don't turn this direction on this street. To me, it's just a greater opportunity right now for us to hear from him. And you can't write a book on telling somebody to turn left at this light. No. Make a U-turn, go this way, when it maybe saved the person's life. I go back to the time in India where the people that lost their family members, it was because they took one step that the other family member didn't take. So be greater listeners. Be greater watchers. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will actually have you see something that you just need to go take care of. And I think the only way that we give him permission, really, to do this is to give him verbal permission. Don't just think it. Just say, Lord, you know, I right now give you permission to use me however you need to use me. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able to get through to me in a way I will understand. Because when you think about the gift of tongues, the mind doesn't understand, does it? It doesn't understand unless the Holy Spirit can help you understand in a way that you do understand what he's saying. And so the Holy Spirit is our interpreter. I always say, tongues is not to be translated necessarily, and though people have gone to third world countries and actually been able to say, you know, this is what they're saying. It says, pray that you may interpret. So as you all speak in tongues, give the Holy Spirit permission in this day to interpret what you were saying. And you might say, how do you do that? I'll tell you how I first did it, because I sense there's some of you that have never thought about doing it. And maybe once or twice, maybe you had an experience. It doesn't mean that he's just translating words. He's actually revealing a thought to you in another language. But you have to be open for it. First, you're open through yielding your tongue. This is why speaking in tongues to me is so valuable, because when you yield, you really don't know what your tongue is going to say next. And I've said before, I fought that at first because I didn't want to not be a person that seemed like they were normal, especially if you've ever been out on the streets and you see somebody rambling as you walk by and they just seem kind of out of it. This is not the same thing. And so I believe God wants to give each one of us new tongues, but the new tongues is actually part of your direction into the new things. But pray that you may interpret. Just let him work in you, because sometimes when I'm praying in tongues, he's actually working something in me to be willing one, because he's going to reveal it to me, but he wants to work something in me to be willing to cooperate with him. I know that some of the trips that I've taken in my life would not have happened if I didn't have this kind of relationship with the Lord, because they were so peculiar. Some of the situations I've gone in with people, I wouldn't have done had I not been so yielded this way to get this inspired thought. So I'm sure that's something for some of us to really think about. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's going to be a lot of things that we may have to lay down in this day to assist people. Maybe it may be educating some people on some things. It may be really sitting down with somebody, helping them to come to really know Jesus. It may be the Holy Spirit will prompt you to ask a question of a family member or a neighbor or somebody and take you into a whole new relationship with them that you've never been with before. And it's exciting when he begins to move us into the new things, because the more that we allow him as our great shepherd move us into the new, the less we're going to be so distracted by all that has gone on and all that has happened and all the horrible things that have transpired. Because it reminds us he's still working on this earth. I do believe that we're in an hour of proving and testing, so that he can purify us. He didn't bring it, but definitely he works all things together for good. So I don't know about you,
but it has definitely put some proving in my life. And what will I believe in this day? Will I believe that these things will still come to pass? Will I still want to preach the gospel, even if people say, well, where was God in this? Will I do something that may go contrary to somebody else because they're not hearing? Will I be patient with people that don't understand why I'm at peace? And I think that's what the Lord's asking. He left us here to be a witness, a testimony of who he is. So let these times prove. Because, like I said, there's like two things going on. Of course, the adversary is the one behind this kind of stuff. And why wasn't it stopped? We just have to get past the fact that it wasn't stopped. I think some people are still in the past. It's like somebody doing something against you. When are you going to forgive them? And then what are you going to do? You know, if our president hadn't forgiven, he wouldn't be able to still be able to work with him in a way that we may need to work. It's kind of like your adversary. If your enemy does something, will you forgive them? I'm not saying forgive the devil. He's already in a lost place. I don't go there. I just utilize what the Holy Spirit says to me in any kind of form of prayer that may bind him. But I think it's a good time to ask ourselves, how am I at forgiveness? Because I think it needs to be really good right now. How am I at patience? Am I able to endure? It talks about enduring in the evil day. I guess you can say we're in it. And how will I endure? Well, it's not just to sit here and have my own little fluffy life. He has us here for others. How many of you would say, and you can tell me when I open this up for prayer and contact, how many would say you're really happy that Miriam is glad she's still here doing the things of God? I am, because I want as much passed on to me for my generation, just like I want to pass it on to our children. I just want to close with this. I may have said it in one way, shape, or form, but the Lord never said we'd be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil one. Think about that. That was a prayer Jesus prayed. I don't pray that you be taken out of the world, but that you be kept. I just want you all to say out of your mouth right now, Lord, you are keeping me in this day. You are keeping me in the palm of your hand. You're keeping me in your amazing peace. You're keeping me alert. You're keeping me at peace. And there may be other things. You're keeping my resources available. You're keeping whatever it is that needs to be kept. It may be for other people. Praise the Lord. You actually dropped two messages in my heart, but you only got this one because the other one would take too much time for today. So I'm looking forward to the words that he wants to speak to me. And I want to give us the opportunity to pray if there's anything specific that you believe you want prayer for. You know, I know we have our Wednesday prayer meeting, but I think the day requires prayer now too. Because I think every one of us in the split second can have something going on. And I want to exhort every single one of you to ask the Lord, how do you need me right now to pray?
Who needs my prayer, Lord? And what is the prayer?
Amen.